Daniel chapter 6 verses 1 through 9. Remember that the first 6 chapters of Daniel are more than just a historical record. They are also prophetic pictures which show by living parallel what Jews living in a Gentile-dominated world may expect. Inasmuch as the picture is one of godly Jews, not of church-age believers, among whom there is neither Jew nor Gentile, and since many of the prophecies of Daniel remain unfulfilled, we see this prophetic parallelism as referring to those Jews who will believe after the church age, but before the millennial kingdom of Christ is fully established on the earth. Before us is the last of these lived-out prophecies from Daniel's life. It is especially important, then, that deliverance from the lion's mouth is depicted here. Peter wrote, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." 1 Peter 5:8. This was written at a time of great persecution near the beginning of this church age. Peter's real calling was to the Jews, not to the Gentiles, although God did use him to first introduce the gospel to the Gentiles. Galatians 2:7-9 and Acts 10. By this we conclude that Peter's letters will have a great application to godly Israel during the time of persecution known as the Great Tribulation, Jacob's Trouble, Jeremiah 30:7. Today, although we certainly face warfare, we deal far more with the wiles of the devil, Ephesians 6:11, and with those who lie in wait to deceive, Ephesians 4:14, than we do with the raging, roaring, open violence of the lion. It is from this violence of the lion that believing Israelites will need deliverance. While we consider the deliverance given to Daniel, bear in mind that the miraculous manner in which he was spared from death is not the only way God delivers from that old lion, Satan. Paul wrote, probably within months or weeks of his execution under the hand of Rome, "I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." 2 Timothy 4:17-18. Even as he wrote, he knew that his earthly course was finished. His natural, physical deliverance from the lion was temporary. His preservation was not to be physical, being kept alive in the body to the coming of the Lord. He will, we know, be raised in a glorified body to take his place in the heavenly kingdom, as contrasted to the earthly kingdom which saved Israel will enjoy. But his real deliverance from the mouth of the lion is in the fact that Satan has no power to harm the faith or the spirit of the person who trusts in God. God has shut the lion's mouth. This is the true deliverance in any age. Let us begin considering the details of Daniel 6 by asking why Daniel found himself in trouble. In answering this, we shall see what soon will bring persecution from the Antichrist upon a body of faithful Jews. Two words will answer: jealousy and rebellion. Daniel had been chosen by Darius to serve as the first of all the princes of the realm. The others concealed their anger and resentment from the king, although Daniel undoubtedly was aware of it. But they wanted his place for themselves and despised the judgment of the king, which did not give it to them. The reason for Darius preferring Daniel over the others was that an excellent spirit was in him. Daniel 6:3. This excellent spirit was the life of Christ, and most especially the Holy Spirit of God. That Darius would have realized this is unlikely, but he observed an excellence in Daniel's character and determined to give him the place for which he was qualified. It was his purpose that Daniel would have full rulership over all Babylon's realm. The servants of Satan disliked having the godly, humble Daniel at their head, even as Satan dislikes having God at his, Isaiah 14:13-14, and Ezekiel 28:2-3. Once Israel begins partaking of God's excellent spirit, he will show that he intends to give them first place in the earth. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3. The things therefore told by Isaiah will not come to pass until after the great tribulation. But as the mighty, anointed ministry of the two witnesses unfolds, Revelation 11, verses 3 through 6, God's earthly purpose toward Israel will become apparent to the world. The Antichrist and his cohorts will hate the Jews because power is to be taken from them and bestowed upon Jews. It may be that Daniel's enemies also had patriotic reasons for their hatred. Daniel was the man who gave the announcement of the judgment upon Babylon. Further, he had never been quite like the rest of them. It would have been natural, although not reasonable or just, for charges of treachery to be pointed at Daniel by those Babylonians who despised his righteousness, his wisdom, and his God. What accusations will be cast up concerning Israel when two Jewish prophets begin to declare the wrath of God against rebellious Gentile governments? The man of sin will be gaining in power and popularity. He will be hailed as a savior of mankind and as one who can solve the terrifying political, economic, and social problems of a frightened human race. Will the righteous declarations of God's faithful witnesses be kindly received when they contradict the lie which the masses of humanity will want so desperately to believe? When their warnings are backed up by death, drought, and plagues upon those who oppose them, what will be the world's reaction toward the nation of Israel? Many seemingly reasonable excuses will then be given for violent hatred and open persecution of the Jews, but unholy jealousy and a rejection of God's purpose will be at its heart. The Hebrew word which is translated occasion in Daniel 6 verses 4 through 5 would better be rendered pretext. Those who sought to destroy Daniel had a problem. Daniel's faithfulness was such that they could find nothing which would support any charge against him. As Daniel yielded to the excellent spirit which was in him, even the ordinary business of his daily labors was above reproach. This is a testimony indeed to the power of God at work in a life. Still, those men who plotted against Daniel were professional politicians. They knew that in the matter of damaging a man's reputation, where there is a will, there is a way. If they could not juggle the books to make right seem wrong in natural things, they would do so in spiritual things. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Daniel 6, verse 5. Their way of setting the king against Daniel was to propose to the king a new and flattering temporary law. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Daniel 6, verse 7. Such a law would seem to carry forward the purposes of man, of a man who was establishing his authority over a conquered people. It would demonstrate that his rule was sufficient to meet every need of those who served and obeyed him. To the natural mind, there might seem to be good in such a law. Do you remember how the Lord depicted King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4, verse 12? He was shown as a tree. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. God has arranged it so that a ruler who rightly carries out his ordained duties becomes the source of great natural good to those who are ruled. It is important, both from the natural and the spiritual standpoints, for men to recognize this fact. Doing so will lead them to submit to those in authority and to enjoy greater quietness and prosperity thereby. The problem was that the decree went far beyond pointing out the power and the benefit of Darius's rule. It interfered with men's submissive worship of the great ruler and supplier of all needs. Mankind always seems to go too far in pointing out whatever shreds of usefulness and earthly goodness they find in themselves. Darius was deceived by his own pride. Describing what he had seen in a vision concerning the false prophet who will act in behalf of the Antichrist, John said, and he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak, and cause that as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Revelation 13, verse 15. In Revelation 7, we see 144,000 Jews sealed. They, like Daniel, will be commanded to offer their prayers to a man. They will refuse and be delivered out of the den of the lion. What is Satan's den? The world. In Revelation 14, we see the 144,000 gone from the earth and standing upon the heavenly mount. Compare Hebrews 12:22. Having been delivered from the lion's mouth, they will be highly exalted by the king who loved them and gave himself for them. This is the hope offered to the Jews through the narrative before us. That not all Israel will have a part with the 144,000 is obvious. Some will not believe unto salvation soon enough, even as not all believers today accept the seal of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. So also there will undoubtedly be saved Israelites then who will not immediately receive him. No one is sealed who has not been filled. Canners do not seal vessels which are unfilled, nor does God do so. Those who do not receive the seal of the Holy Spirit within the first 3.5 prophesied years will not have a place among the 144,000, any more than those who do not receive Christ during that period. Both the seal of the Spirit and consistency of life seem to be prerequisites for those who will escape the lion's den. There is a lesson here for us. What opportunity is set before us in this church age? We may receive Jesus Christ as Savior, be filled with the Holy Spirit, live lives which are consistent with God's Word, and look forward to the joyous call, come up here. But what of those who waste their time of opportunity? Is God a respecter of persons? Will he make exceptions for us which he will not make for the Jews? Consider well, child of God, and may the most excellent Spirit of God speak to your heart.